Christmas is really about celebrating of God with us. Say the word God with us. Say it again, God with us. You know, who is with us make a whole big difference. I remember about seven, eight years ago, my family and I, we went for a vacation in the island. I think it was Perhentian. So we went for a jungle trail in the afternoon, and suddenly halfway through, a storm came. Suddenly the skies turned dark, thunder, lightning, and the rain just poured, and we wanted to get back to our hotel as soon as we can. Okay, we were a little bit concerned, we were a little bit worried. But as we were walking back, my two elder child, that time they were 7 and 5 years old, as they were walking in front, my wife is behind with a baby carrier, and suddenly they froze in the middle of the trail. They froze. And I saw, and about 5 meters away, there was this monitor lizard that was really, really huge. Okay, they froze. And I did what Malaysians do. But it didn't move. Okay, it didn't move. So I told my two, and it was thunder, lightning, pouring rain. I told the two children, I says, Daddy is with you. Just stay next to me, and we will walk slowly across the monitor lizard. And true enough, the lizard didn't move, and we walked across, and my two kids were comforted because Daddy is with them. And I was comforted because my wife is with me, okay, but it makes a whole big difference when you know that God is with you. In whatever situation that you are going through today, I don't know, but God knows. Whether it is an emotional situation, whether it's a financial relational situation, maybe within your soul you are struggling and wrestling with certain things, God is with you. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew, when Matthew kind of announced or wrote down the birth of Jesus, he quoted Prophet Isaiah, which prophesied about the coming of the Messiah 700 years before it happened. And this is what Gospel of Matthew says. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Say the word Emmanuel. So when God thought about what is the one name that captures the essence of Jesus, it is this word called Emmanuel, which is God with us. You know, names are significant. And I shared this a couple of weeks ago, a true story in 2016 in Australia. A couple was expecting a baby girl and they were thinking of a name to name the child. So the husband proposed the name Lanestra. And the wife thought that what a unique and romantic name. So she agreed. 2 years down the road, the husband finally revealed the meaning behind the name. And Lanestra simply means his favorite football team, Arsenal, spelled backwards. Okay? Names are significant. Now, when God thought about the name Emmanuel, we did not need to decipher, we did not need to crack the code what it means, because it literally means God with us. And that's the key message of Christmas. Now you may ask me, but Pastor, what does God with me means? And the same prophet Isaiah described it that God is with us when He is our wonderful counselor, when He is our mighty God, when He is our everlasting Father. And today we're going to talk about that He is our Prince of Peace. You can listen back to our YouTube, the different messages about what it means for God to be with you in your different life circumstances. But today, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. It means that Jesus is the ultimate divine source of peace that we have. And in fact, the English word peace does not do justice, does not capture the full meaning of this God kind of peace that Jesus wants to give us. Let me read you this verse in Thessalonians. It says, now may the God of peace himself... Okay, God is a God of peace, and He Himself, He did not outsource it to an angel, He did not outsource it to a company, but He says, God of peace Himself, He will sanctify you completely, which means that make you whole. He wants to complete you, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. In other words, the peace of God brings wholeness, fullness, completeness to our body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, spirit. And the English word peace is translated in Hebrew and Greek, it is the word shalom. It is the word irene. And it means to be complete, to be whole, to be soundness, to have a good well-being, to live in harmony, no cracks, nothing is missing, relationally as well with one another and with God through Jesus Christ. And that's the fullness of the meaning of peace. But guess what? We live in a broken world, right? Our soul is broken. And we are filled with selfishness, self-centeredness. We are filled with pride. We are filled with greed and insecurity. We go through the different things that we're going through, jealousy, discontentment. We live in a broken world. Relationally, we are broken as well. Marriage and family is full of strife and conflicts and unforgiveness and hatred and comparison. All these things are going on because we are broken. In our spirit as well, we are far away from God. We are separated from God. We rejected God. We have wrong assumptions about God. In our mind as well, right? We are more depressed. We are more troubled. We are more anxious and fearful than we ever have been as a generation. That we have no rest in our soul, in our mind. We cannot sleep at night because we live in a broken world. And that is the reason when we talk about Christmas, the kind of peace that Jesus wants to bring, the Erini peace, is to bring wholeness, completeness, soundness, harmony within us. So Jesus says in John, He says, "Peace I live with you, my peace I give you." Say, "My peace I give you." So Jesus says, "My peace I'll give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give you my peace." That we do not have to earn it sometimes, right? We think, "Oh, I'm not good enough to receive God's goodness. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough to receive God's peace." But Jesus is saying, no. I'm going to give you that peace. Not because you are good, but because I am good. And He says that the peace that I give you is different from the peace that the world gives. When we speak about peace, maybe some of us, we have a picture of a holiday, a nice holiday by the beach, watching a sunset. Maybe for some of us, peace means we get to sleep in whole day without any task to do. Maybe for us, peace is having a cup of coffee by the river. I don't know. But the peace that Jesus wants to give, it is not based on external circumstances, but He wants to give us peace from within. Peace from within, the God kind of peace. It is internal. It is the peace that knowing that God is with us. Now, I spoke to people who are going through difficult challenges, financial pressures, they're going through physical challenges. But they will tell me, "Pastor, yes, it is painful. Yes, sometimes it is fearful. But God is with me. I have the peace of Jesus within me that helps me see through and sustain through my season." Jesus also says, "In me, you may have peace." Sometimes we say, in money, we have peace. Sometimes we say, in security, we have peace. Sometimes we say, in holiday, we have peace. But Jesus is saying that true peace comes from being in the person of Jesus. We may have peace. And He says, in this world, you will have trouble. That's true, right? How many of you don't have trouble? Jesus didn't say, in this world, you may have trouble. But He says that in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. See, peace is not an absence of chaos and trouble. Peace is that we feel that God is with us even in the midst of the storm of life. I want to share a story of Eric. He comes to this church. In fact, I saw him. He's in our midst. And I met him for lunch maybe about 3-4 months ago and just chit-chatting, get to know him, and he began to share his story with me. And last couple of days, I was talking to him on the phone, and he said, "Please, Pastor, you have permission to share the story." In fact, he was so glad that his story was able to encourage people. But basically, Eric, since 18 years old, he got into gangsterism, and he was involved in all kinds of things, fights, gambling, and different things. By the age of 28 years old, he was involved in drugs, and he was involved in heavy online casino gambling, football betting, and he was also facilitating. He was also the one who helps people to facilitate online and football betting. So that was the kind of world that he was in. And in terms of drugs, he would be so dependent on drugs that he had to carry it all along with him, even within internal flights in Malaysia, because he was so dependent on drugs. At one point, he was so intense that he didn't sleep for 5 days because he was so high on drugs. What people would consume drugs for a week, he consumed it within a day. That was how intense he was on drugs. And his life began to spiral downwards. Online gambling, football betting has accumulated debts to the banks, to the loan shark, to the people around them of more than $1 million+. He had to sell his house. He has to sell his assets to pay off the debt, but it wasn't enough. And in 2011, at the age of 31 years old, he was declared bankrupt. That was the lowest point of his life. And he told me, "Pastor, it didn't really matter whether I live or die." When he was awake, he was angry, he was abusive, he was destructive, he was aggressive. And he would escape his challenges and problems to alcoholism and drugs. And that was his life. Our night is his day, and our day is his night. And that was his life. Until one day in 2015, during Christmas, someone invited the wife to a Christmas party. And the wife asked him whether he wants to come along. And to her surprise, he said yes. And he went to the party and he told me that when they sang the songs, he felt joy and he felt peace. And there was someone who was sharing his story about how his life was transformed by this person named Jesus Christ. And he was moved by that story. He resonated with that story. At the end of that sharing, the person asked if anyone would like to invite Jesus into their heart and into their world. And he said, yes, he would like to invite Jesus into his heart. And that was the beginning of the story of transformation. And he would be so moved that every Sunday he will go to church and he will listen to the songs, he will listen to the message, not just with his ears, but with his open hearts. And he will take notes, he will go back and he will reread the Word of God, and slowly God began to change and begin to transform him. First, God has delivered him from gambling, and God delivered him from drugs. So one day after church, he felt he wants to be open, and he shared, he texted one of the leaders. He says, "This is what I'm into, and I would like to get off of it." And he says, "You know, God loves you, and God will help you get through." And he gets so encouraged that day he began to throw all his stuff away, and he basically lent his motorcycle to a friend, right? So that when the urge comes, he doesn't have access to go and look for drugs. And God delivered him. It was a miracle that he did not have to go rehab to be delivered fully from drugs. So it took about 2 months and before he was fully out of it. And he was still drinking. And one night, he was so drunk that he kind of slept outside the bar in the street in his semi-conscious state. Maybe it was 2, maybe it was 3 o'clock in the morning. He called his wife to come and pick him up. Obviously, you know that he and the wife relationship is not good, right? Because he was always drunk, he was always angry. And he went home and he slept for a long time that night or that day. And when he woke up, there was such an overwhelming conviction, there was such an overwhelming guilt that he just broke down and he cried and he cried. And he pleaded to God. He says, "God, this is not the kind of life that I want. Will you please help me?" And guess what? God delivered him from drinking. And yesterday on the phone, he was telling me that, "Pastor, it's been 8 years since my last encounter with alcohol." Praise God for that. Praise God for that. And after that, God delivered him on the 8th, 9th month since the Christmas party, delivered him from cigarettes. And it was during August prayer and fasting. And he says he was reading the Bible, he was praying, fasting, and smoking at the same time. Okay? So he fasted from food, but not from cigarettes, right? And as he was reading the Bible, praying, fasting, and he felt God convicted him and says, it's time to give up cigarette. It is not good. And he looked at his cigarette box. There was 3 sticks of cigarettes inside. And he had a conversation with God. He says, God, cigarette very expensive. I'll finish these 3 sticks and then I'll stop. And true enough, he did. And 8 months, God delivered him from gambling, from drugs, from alcohol, from smoking. But God did not just deliver him from those. God began to restore. Remember the Erini piece, right? To make whole, to restore, to make complete. God began to restore his life. God began to give him joy. God began to take away his anger and his shame and his hatred. And God began to restore his relationship with his wife and with his older 2 children. And last couple of years, God has blessed them with another baby boy. And he told me, I was a very different father back then and now. And I want to be a good father to my 3 sons. God is able. Jesus, the peace of Jesus, is able to make whole, to make complete, to restore. And that's the peace that Jesus wants to bring. And Jesus also wants to restore our relationship with God. You know, in a relationship, husband and wife, when we argue, there is a gap, right? There is a relationship. And we know one, okay? Most of the time, the husband knows. Most of the time, the husband may not know. But there is a gap. Between friends, when there is an argument, a conflict, there is a gap. You know what restores the relationship? Forgiveness, right? Forgiving one another, and then that relationship is restored. In the same way, we are separated from God in our relationship because of sin, right? Because of offense, because of a conflict of sin. Therefore, we and God, we are separated. Guess what restored the relationship? It is forgiveness. When Jesus died on the cross, the verse says, by making peace through his blood on the cross. When Jesus died for us on the cross, guess what? Grace and forgiveness is being extended to every single one of us. So that when we receive that grace, when we receive that forgiveness by faith, our relationship with God is restored through Jesus. You know, in this church, some of you, maybe you are friends, family members who are being invited by members of the church. We want to help you to discover more about God. And we have this platform called Discover God. If you consider yourself not a churchgoer, you don't really go to church, you are new in your faith in discovering who this God is, maybe you are in a season of life which you feel that maybe there is this God. I've been going through life on my own and it doesn't seem to be working out, but maybe there is this God who my friend tells me. And this is an online platform for you. So for you to get to know God in a very casual, conversational way. We run this maybe 2-3 times a year, and we are doing one in January. And you can access that in your first page on the 3rd part of your QR code on what's next. You know, as I end today's message, I want us to listen to this song that speaks about Jesus and speaks about the peace and the power of Jesus. As Pastor Neil and the team sings the song, I want you to respond to the lyrics. I want you to bring whatever situation you have and begin to invite Jesus into that brokenness. Relationally, financially, in your emotion, in your mind, just begin to invite the peace of Jesus to make whole. Right, so sit tight, enjoy, and be ministered by this song.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope. last week, Jesus. Can we all stand up together? Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows.
Us wholeness. Jesus, we thank you, oh God, Lord. You came to give us life and life abundantly, oh God, Lord. Sometimes we missed out, oh God, Lord, because we are so broken inside our soul, our mind, relationally. We are all so broken. You know, church, wherever you are, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to invite the peace, the arena peace of Jesus into that broken aspect of your life. Maybe some of us in our soul, God, we know we are broken. We are always anxious. We are always angry. We are always unforgiving. We are very critical. You invite Jesus into that area of your life. Maybe some of you need a turnaround in your financial work-wise, in your marriage, in your kids. You invite Jesus into that area of your life. Some of us, maybe we need healing, physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing. Invite Jesus. Just going to take 20 seconds or so, wherever you are, okay, just lift up your hand and say, Jesus, I invite you to this broken part of my life. Would you make whole? Would you make complete? Would you sanctify? Would you give peace? Would you restore? Would you heal? Would you make good? Right now, wherever you are, if you have one thing, just raise your hands and just pray and just invite Jesus into that, into your marriage, into my soul, into my emotion, into my heart. My spirit is far away from you. Just begin to invite Jesus. God, you see all these hands, Lord. I pray, God, that you did it for our friend Eric. You can do it for us. You did it for our friend Eric. You can do it for us. Just begin to invite the simple prayer. Jesus, would you come into my heart? It doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not. You can invite Jesus into your heart. God, we invite you, Lord, that you will heal. I just felt that there are people in this room that are anxious. You cannot sleep. You're constantly worrying about things that is out there. And because of that, you're crippled by anxiety. You're crippled by fear. God, you speak to them, Lord. The Lord of peace, you will make good. You will bring peace to our brothers and sisters. God, we thank you. Some of us here, if your first time and you're saying that, Pastor Sean, I would like to invite Jesus into my heart for the first time. Okay, for the first time, I would like to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Just like what Eric did 8 Christmas ago. Let's just pray it together. Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I know I'm broken. I know I'm sinful. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for grace. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for the peace you have given me. I don't deserve it, but you choose to give it to me. I receive that gift. I invite you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Teach me to know more about you. Teach me to love you back. Teach me to grow my relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, if you have prayed that for the very first time, do tell a friend that brought you, or you can scan the QR code, the third one called What's Next. Or after the service, you can come forward. We have prayer ministers who would like to pray with you and would like to talk to you. And the prayer ministers will also be here so that if any of you need prayer, whether it's health, whether it's emotion, next year, the prayer minister will be ready to pray with you. All right? So let me pray and we'll end. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for a great Christmas service. I pray, even as we disperse, to our various life, God, Lord, that we will bring the joy and the peace of God to wherever we go this week, God, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right.